This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And it is July the 20th, 2021. The show that you have fallen in love with is DCR. Take you all the way up till 8 o'clock this morning, every weekday morning. And that's when KJZ takes over. It was a late one. It was a late, long, high-scoring, dramatic Mets game. And thankfully, they came away with a very exciting and poorly played victory over the Cincinnati Reds. And let's get right into it. Yankees starting a set against the Phillies. NBA Finals tonight. Saquon Barkley is speaking. Lot to get into today. CMT, of course, on the Tuesday. Rick is going to run it because we've gotten rid of the way that RJ so poorly did it. And we say good morning to the guys and good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I will say this, though. Listening to RJ this morning after a nice long 2.5 hour nap and some rest last night, voice is back. He could do a CMT if we asked him to, I think.
Today. No. The people have spoken. The people are clamoring for you to do CMT. The ratings, I believe, prove higher when you do CMT. You will be running point on CMT, not sloughing off your responsibilities to someone else.
No, I'm not sloughing. I mean, we just found out that RJ speaks different languages. Maybe he does CMT in a different language today.
I've done what I came to done.
True. It feels like you haven't really mastered the English language. I do like what you're bringing up there. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. I would ask how you're doing, but that's not what I want to know from you. I want to know who you're rooting for tonight, the Phils or the Yankees.
It's not easy. But it's not, but I'm rooting for the Yankees tonight. I will tell you this. If the Mets had a 6-game lead over the Phillies, I would root for the Phillies. But it's too narrow and they're too banged up. I will root for the Yankees tonight. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to root for the Yankees because your team has shown that you really can't have enough margin for error based on the way that they're playing baseball right now, especially on the defensive side. Like, that's – defensive pitching is going to be a struggle right now for the Mets. They really are. Like, starting pitching and defense, they're going to have to figure something out because last night, if that's any indicator of what you're going to get for the foreseeable future – it's going to be tough to hold on to that lead.
Yeah, I don't think defense is going to be the issue. I mean, this team has been great defensively. Guillorme's one of the most sure-handed defenders on the team.
Phenomenal. I've never seen anything
Lindor's absence is going to matter on the defensive side. Like him having that oblique strain, that's going to play a role. Like the defense is not going to be as good as we've seen it with him out of the lineup. There's no question about that.
I'm more concerned. I'm more concerned about McNeil's defense at second than I am Guillorme consistently.
Well, I agree with that. But Chris also touched on the starting pitching, and that's a real problem. Although I didn't think Eichhoff was awful last night. Like he was okay.
No, he was fine. I mean, he gave you. I mean, if his defense didn't betray him last night, I mean, he gave you what you would expect from him. The problem is you don't have high expectations for him.
Right.
I mean, Stroman hasn't been great, right? You had the stinker from Walker, which put a ton of extra work on your bullpen. I mean, your bullpen needs to go 8 2/3 the night before and then have what happened last night in up and down. I'm in, I'm out. In all honesty, when you look at what Guillorme and then McNeil, I mean, it's that game legitimately should have been 3-1 Mets after two.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead,
easy double play balls were hit, and they butchered them. And I've never seen anybody do what Guillorme was doing. Like, not only was he making the errors, but he also did it on the first error, the one that he tried to flip at the second to McNeil.
Mm-hmm. Try to roll it.
He tried to bat it to second base, and then the next time he did bat it to third base, and it went past third. Like, I don't know. That was... That was some of the worst defense I've ever seen in my life last night.
Did everyone do that? Yeah, unfortunately, everyone was dozing that last night. I mean, four errors in the first two innings is not going to get it done. But, I mean, here's the thing. The starting pitching is a huge question now moving forward with the DeGrom injury and everything else. But, I mean, it's time for the offense to do what everyone expected it to do.
And they did.
And last night they did, and especially Conforto. I mean, there was obviously some negatives last night. I mean, there's some interesting moves. The fact that you pitched to Winker in that spot was an interesting decision.
The fact
decision.
That Diaz blew a save opportunity.
That's
three in a row. That's a humongous problem.
Which, surprisingly, is the first time he's ever blown three games in a row.
Yeah, but he didn't have a support guy at short form.
Right.
If only
he had a guy that could come to the mound and, you know, make him feel better, ease the tension, all that kind of stuff, he'd be much better. But he doesn't have Lindor.
He doesn't have Lindor there.
Mm-mm.
Although, I mean, I said it yesterday, maybe Lindor's going to start doing mound visits, so he blows another save. But, I mean, Conforto getting hot at the right time is huge for us. It's huge. I mean, because he's been a non-factor. The first half of the season, he was between how he started then the injury, he was a non-factor. And now, I mean, you've seen what he's done over the last... He's got five home runs in his last four games, which is huge, three in his last two. I mean, he's a big... Like, Dave, he's good enough. Michael Conforto is good enough to carry a lineup. And, you know, without Lindor for an extended period of time, I mean, offensively, defensively, I mean, that's a big missing piece. So someone's going to have to step up. And hopefully this is where Michael Conforto starts to get hot consistently here.
But that's supposed to be how it works, though, right? I mean, it's a team game. So you're talking about when certain areas of your team are going to struggle, then the other areas have to pick up the slack. And you guys mentioned it earlier. I mean, it's about time for this Mets offense to step up because based on what we've seen from them in the first half, they have not performed up to the expectations that everybody had for them coming into the season. But last night, hitting a season high, seven home runs, I mean, in the fashion that they won that game with McCann with that late go-ahead bomb, and then Pilar, what he did, and then Conforto tacking on an insurance solo home run after that. Like, that's what you know the Mets offense is capable of when you got everybody in the lineup healthy. And so even though you don't have Lindor, which is a huge missing piece, like, you do have a lot of guys that can hit with some slug, and last night they showed it. That's exactly what you're going to need moving forward to try to overcome some of the deficiencies that your team is having right now based on injuries.
Look, I have real concerns about this team now. And by the way, the phone lines are open on the Mets, 800-919-3776. Concerns, where you are, the state of the Mets, no DeGrom, Lindor going to be out for a considerable amount of time. But I will say this, as bad as they were last night, and they were, I mean, defensively horrendous, Diaz blows the game again, that was a gut check game. I mean, you're down 7-3. You have a 3-0 lead before anything even happens. That lead is gone immediately. You have to rely on the bullpen. You could have easily fallen apart and lost that game. So I do give them a, your manager's not there. Your best, you know, defensive player at short's not there. You know you don't have DeGrom. The bullpen is certainly worn down. To go out there and win that game the way they did, I give them a lot of credit for that, as badly as they played last night.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not sustainable.
No, it's not.
It's not sustainable. I mean, it's a... The start tonight for Carrasco was huge. His last rehab start. Hopefully, fingers crossed, all things go well. And
yeah, he does well tonight. He'll be with the Mets, you know, end of the weekend, early next week.
Yeah, next scheduled start will be with the Mets.
Yep, with the
which
Mets.
Is, I mean, right at the right time. Because, I mean, Tyler McGill has been a godsend what he's been able to do. But, I mean, there's real concerns right now about your starting pitching staff, especially here in the second half. I mean, let's not forget, we came off a 60-game season last year. So even if your starting staff was fully healthy, it was going to be a struggle to get them through the 162. Like, you're going to have to, you know, mix and match and kind of piece this thing together down the stretch. And now, because, you know, we're in a situation with no DeGrom and Carrasco's not back yet, we got a couple, you know, TBDs as far as starting pitching. Is that's putting a lot of stress on your bullpen right now. A lot of stress on your bullpen.
And look, they needed to get 26 outs on Sunday. They had to pitch how many innings last night? Six innings last night?
Mm-hmm.
During that game? Now you have Robert Stock on the mound tonight.
Ugh.
So what are you going to need from them tonight? So last night was huge because you feel it dwindling. Like, you know when a team is falling apart and you feel the boat is taking on water? And I hate to say it, Rick.
I'm a boater.
Yes, I am a boater. Isn't that quite what it feels like right now? That they're just kind of hemorrhaging?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going through some adversity. But this team is the one thing you love about this team. Is how resilient they are. I had to double check last night because, I mean, of course, with the whole Spotrac incident yesterday, of course, I'm double checking. But so I see this. Buster only retweeted this yesterday. So Baseball Reference had its National League postseason odds. The Phillies have a 45.5% chance to make the playoffs, followed by the Braves and then the Mets. I was like, what?
That's accurate?
Before last night's game. Yeah, before last night's game, they had the Braves at 45.5. They had the Phillies at 45.5, the Braves at almost 26%, and the Mets were 18% to make the postseason.
That's absurd.
Absurd. I mean, it got readjusted after last night's win. Mm-hmm. The Mets are up now to 25%, but they still have the Phillies winning the division.
So the win from last night gave them a 7% increased chance to win the division or to get to the playoffs?
To get to the playoffs. They have the Phillies winning the division. With a 40% chance to win the division.
All right, so let me ask you this. Right now, you got to put money on the Mets or the Phillies to win the division. Where are you going?
I would put it on the Mets.
I absolutely would as well. Chris?
You know I'm staying with the Mets. That was my preseason prediction.
I mean, we're 11 days away from the trade deadline. I'm assuming that they're going to make moves. And I'll tell you another thing. Can
Steve
the owners
Cohen.
Stop?
I know. I was just going to say that.
Can you? It's not that funny all the time. I don't find it adorable. And I know that he finds it funny in his constant tweets and should we make a trade right now? How many runs do you think it's going to take to win this game? If you win it, I can tolerate it. When you're losing games and you're doing this, I find it very unsettling and, to be honest with you, very annoying.
No, if you lost that game last night after what happened on Saturday against Pittsburgh, and then, I mean, what should have happened again on Sunday against Pittsburgh, and then like you mentioned it to start the show. I mean, it's an early 3-0 lead. 3-0 lead for us. We got Eichhoff on the mound. It's like, okay, you know, this is exactly what you want. He's got an early lead, got to settle in, and then before you know it, the four errors, there's 7 runs on the board. And it's like, uh-oh, here we go. Another loss. And they, uh-oh. I give credit, they find a way to come back. I mean, if you don't love Kevin Pillar, I don't know as a Mets fan what you're watching, because that dude is, I love that guy.
He's reckless, huh?
Oh, he's reckless, big hits. I mean, you could just tell, like, emotionally.
I forget, it was late in the game, and he went flying into the wall down the left field line, and Gary Cohen's like, we're hoping he was okay. We don't see him at the moment.
Well, yeah, but remember that when Diaz gave up that Stallings grand slam, he dove into the into the crowd to try to catch it.
He would have done whatever it took to try to catch that baseball.
Whatever it would have taken. And you could tell, like, he's kind of like that. He's a big-time
leader.
He's
a kamikaze. That's what he is.
Yeah, I love
after getting hit in the face.
Yeah, right in the face, square in the nose, broken nose.
Can't wait to get back to play.
So, I mean, this team feels like it has something special going on, and in the same breath saying that, I also agree with you, Dave, where it's starting to feel like it's hemorrhaging a little bit. So to have
the
owner like,
upset.
You know, why make a move now and pay through the nose when we could wait? Because I see what I see with my eyes, and right now I don't. It's right around the corner, but it doesn't feel like you can wait right now at the moment with what's happening with this team.
It's 11 days. It was a great win. Kevin Pillar, we just discussed him. Here he is on just another really signature win for this baseball team.
I keep using the quote that we're built for this, and I think that today was a perfect example. We went through every single guy on the bench. I was the last guy off the bench. You know, we had 2 new pitchers brought up today. We had some guys in the bullpen that were unavailable because they had to cover so many innings yesterday, and no one flinched. You know, we didn't play very good baseball early on. We shot ourselves in the foot, but we pick each other up. Guys that made mistakes in the field came up, contributed in the when their turn came up in the lineup. You know, no one pointed fingers. You know, I was sitting in here listening to Jared talk. He's been very humble in what he had to say, but he threw the ball really well.
They got it done last night.
Well, they got it done, but I mean, look at the last 2 games and what's happened in the last couple games. It's early in these games. I mean, you saw what happened in that, you know, the Pittsburgh game with Walker thinking it's a foul ball. That was a disaster. And then the first 2 innings of this game were a complete disaster. Like, you can only get away with that for, you know, so often.
Well, you might. Well, I guess you
might
you
get
could.
Away with it.
You could get away with it for a couple of games against the Pirates and maybe the Reds. But that's not going to hold up against the better teams around the National League.
No, it was amazing, though. It's like, I mean, you're sitting there questioning, you know, Dave Jous pitching to Winker, and then the Reds turn around, and it's like, no, we'll pitch to McNeil. And you're like, what
when
are
you have the
doing
pitcher
right
on
now?
Deck?
And then they let McNeil steal second, and I think Darling said it the best. The league has never been smarter and more stupid at the same time.
Well, they have the infield in, and they just take second.
Just take second.
Did you hear? They were so funny on that.
Well, but then here's the thing, though, too. But here's the other thing, too, which drove me crazy. Is you can see in the dugout that the pitcher Banda's coming up, right? And you can see that Jous, because he's got a hit. So Jous is talking to him in the dugout, like, God, this is what we're going to do. And clearly he's telling him, you're going to give yourself up, you're going to bunt. He doesn't even try to give himself. He tries to bunt for a hit.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
He wasn't giving. Listen, he almost got it. He hit the ball well.
No, I know.
Third.
But that's because he couldn't initially bunt, and then all of a sudden McNeil stole second. So now he can swing because you're not worried about the double play. But still, in that moment, I mean, it's not easy to bunt. So you let McNeil steal second, you take the double play out of it. It's just like it's mind-boggling sometimes watching some of these games.
Yes, baseball is very, very difficult to understand.
It's mind-boggling.
I will say this too, though.
Yeah.
Is when you look at the box score, and it's amazing. What do you think the Reds were with runners in scoring position last night? How many opportunities with runners in scoring position last night?
How many opportunities? How many at-bats with runners? I'm going to say they had 17.
No, they were 10 for 26.
26?
That's a lot of opportunities with runners in scoring position.
Yankees have had that in July. 10 for 26.
A lot of opportunities, Dave.
How much, by the way, and I knew it, I felt it at the time, and even more so last night, did you miss Gary Cohen when he was out for the weekend?
I missed him in the moment.
Right?
Yeah. And you could tell Keith missed him too doing those games. Like Gary Thorne is great, but he's not the booth that we have is one of the best in baseball.
No. And I don't know how to say this without being mean, and it probably comes across as mean, but I'm just gonna say it. I remember Gary Thorne being better.
Well, yeah, but it's in a different. He's working with someone new.
Well, I get it, but his energy was just dormant. Like it's
not
great energy.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, you see the team that he had been calling coming into them. He'll beat the life out of anybody.
Yeah, the Orioles are some kind of a treat.
Well, his best calls though were when the Yankees would play them, and Torres would keep hitting home runs, and he's like, another one. You're gonna keep pitching to this guy.
I love it.
You could just hear him.
They interject. How about when they're destroying the official score last night when he took second base? McNeil takes,
defensive indifference? Yeah.
That's just a guy that doesn't really understand the game of baseball even a little bit.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't like the way you're trying to deflect CMT onto RJ this morning, by the way, that RJ's voice is back and he can do CMT. You just don't want to do it. There's a laziness factor to you.
No, I love doing it.
Mm.
I like to make the guys feel a part of it. I like with them, and they work hard, man. They're up 2 o'clock every morning.
Oh, but hang on a minute. No one said they don't work hard, and no one said that they're not sensational at their jobs. I just find it to be a bit lazy that you're trying to pawn off CMT onto someone else.
I'm not trying to pawn it off. It's a little bit of, hey, let's all work on this. And if, RJ has a day he wants to do it, I want to offer him the ability to do that.
RJ just moved to this country. Now you want him to start hosting CMT?
Not with his beautiful new voice.
Did you hear this, Chris, by the way? I don't know if you heard this before the show. This is a phenomenal story. So RJ, as you know, was on his bender, his bachelor party in New Orleans over the weekend. And then, I can't believe he did this. Then he comes back on Sunday and goes to a wedding. Clearly compromised, can barely speak. So he says to the waitress at the wedding, in his voice, which is raspy and almost inaudible, he says, can you please bring me a water? And she says, I'm sorry, I don't speak that language. Can you say that again, sir?
English, wow. Do you speak it?
Wow, what do you do with that? Where does the conversation go from there?
It's argue, right? When she thought you weren't speaking English, then how did you retort to that?
I held up my empty glass of water and pointed to it.
You started like signing.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Angie at one point on our way home, she said, "I don't feel you were really present at the wedding."
How dare she do that?
No, not like insulting. She just said you had kind of a glazed look on your face. I said, "That's right."
I'm sorry.
What did she expect?
That was a bad game plan, RJ. Like, you got set up to fail. Fresh off the bachelor party weekend, having to go to a wedding and put your best face forward, you knew that wasn't going to happen. Not after all the beignets and hand grenades. Like, that was a setup from the jump.
I was just happy to be there. I'm like a team that makes a run. I was just happy I made it there. I was glad I was physically there. You hoped it would be enough. You let the cards play out,
Yeah, you took the Marshawn Lynch approach. You know why I'm here, so I don't get fined.
That's exactly what it was.
That's essentially it.
That's exactly. And I didn't even get my money's worth at a normal open bar wedding. Very nice venue.
Stop. You got your money's worth in New Orleans. Stop it.
No, money's worth. But I mean, you know, in terms of gifts and things, I was there just drinking waters, had a couple of crackers and a little bit of dinner, and that was it.
Wait, you were so ill that you were having water and crackers?
By the way,
where do they have crackers?
Like crackers and cheese.
Like a nice little charcuterie
board.
Charcuterie board.
I know exactly how RJ was feeling in that moment, because I've been there before. Like when you're so out of it, where you don't even have an appetite, you don't want to even eat anything, just water and something to sit on your stomach. That's it. RJ having crackers and water.
A friend of mine posted something on social media yesterday. Said, you know, they just had a baby and it was a baby's first day consuming solid food. And I just replied, same.
I mean, how under the weather were you at the wedding? I don't think we spent enough time on this.
No, I was yesterday. Okay. I was okay. I was just, I had nothing.
Was there a chance that you were going to have to run yourself to the bathroom?
No. My body held up well in that regard. It was just, I was out of gas.
It's not a lot of body.
So you got to watch it. A lot of hydration.
You're like you're in the Green Mile, having water and crackers at the wedding.
I was easy to please. I was easy to please.
I mean, it's a shame they paid for your plate.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of that, though. I think in that moment, you got to kind of battle through it.
He gave a gift. He was going to vomit all over the bride. That'd
I know,
the
but there's plenty of times I'm at a buffet, and I feel like I'm going to throw up, but I feel like I have to do it.
What is the matter with you? Hang on a moment now. I'm taking one of your timeouts. There's many times where you feel like, what are you, a dog? Where you're going to throw up, and you push yourself through it anyway and just eat?
Yeah, I got to push through. I mean, you're paying that money for the buffet. I got to get that fourth plate.
Oh, my God. What kind of an animal are you?
Listen, this is what happens. This is why I don't go to buffets very often.
This is separates us from us and canines, is that they feel like they're going to vomit, and they just eat it anyway, and then they throw up because they don't know better. You're supposed to know better. You're on the verge of being ill, and you're just like, oh, you know what? I'll battle through anyway. You can't. There's no reason to.
See, this is why the animals attack me, though.
You get a flu? You really are just special, aren't you?
Yeah, but there's a solid game plan going in. I'm attacking the buffet. I'm getting the expensive stuff first. I'm crushing, give me the shrimp cocktail, the lobster, give me the sushi. And then when I come around for, you know, plates 3 and 4, that's when I get into the dessert kind of stuff.
Nobody has an issue with that as normal practice. That's fine. I think it's an attractive way to attack the buffet when you're feeling well. But when you're not feeling well, you don't just willy-nilly say, well, I'm going to stuff my face anyhow. Well, that's what dogs do.
Why didn't you get them like a turtle or something?
The dogs a turtle?
I feel obligated. In that moment, I say, you know what? I'm here for a reason, and I'm going to crush this buffet. And until I throw up, almost throw up, I'm not leaving.
I mean, I
think a lot of people, everyone does that.
No, nobody does that.
Well, I'm not going to. Why you get the buffet then? Like, why am I going to get the buffet if I'm just going to go and have
it's a great question.
Meal?
Why, when you feel like you're on the verge of vomiting, would, in fact, you get the buffet? It's an age-old question. Chris, where do you fall on this?
Dave, you know how I feel about it. I mean, you can enjoy the buffet, but not to the point where you're going to make yourself sick like one Rick DiPietro does. That's where I'm at.
I'm not going to bypass the chocolate fountain. If I got to suck it up and I got to, you know, feel a little ill, I'm going to destroy the chocolate fountain. A lot to get into today. And then I don't have to eat for the rest of the day. That's the best part of it. I'm done.
Yeah. Ordinarily, it's a great life game plan. But when you're not feeling well and you have some kind of an illness, you don't stuff your face just because it's costing you $59.
I think it cost RJ more than that for this wedding.
Whatever it is. You don't eat just to eat.
I think you should.
Oh,
Well, Dave, you know his father-in-law encourages that. That's Doc's game plan when he goes to a buffet.
There's no way if Doc was on the verge of being ill that he would just stuff his face. There's
1,000%
no way. Apple, hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Guarantee he would. It's actually out of his playbook. Maybe that's where I learned it.
I don't believe you would. Honestly, what I would
like
for
you right
to
now.
Do this morning. When does he wake up? He's older. He's got to wake up earlier.
Nah, we'll wake him up.
I would like you to text him, and I would like an honest answer. If you're ill going in, do you still stuff your face at the buffet?
I guarantee his answer is a yes.
Well, then you're both troubled.
I'm confident about that, too.
All right. Then you're both really, really troubled.
Really get our money's worth.
Like really damn. Money's...
I'm going in. I'm making a commitment. to making sure I get as much out of that buffet as humanly possible.
But do you even enjoy it? Or is this just about dollars and cents?
No, the beginning. The first couple plays I really enjoy. It's the last couple that are the struggle. When I start, that's work. That's when, like, I'm going to get the best of this buffet. That's when you really got to put your head
down. Until later that day when the buffet's laughing at you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Again, listen, I'm not saying it doesn't take its toll, but I'm not going in there to lose. See, you don't have the right mindset. It's like when you went into the penalty kicks, willy-nilly. I'm not even going to warm up.
I got to be honest. I don't see the comparison even a little bit here.
It's just it's a lifestyle. It's a state of mind.
I feel like this is embarrassing. I'm somewhat winded from shooting penalty shots.
Like, Canty all of a sudden decides, you know what, I'm going to challenge somebody in something, whatever it is. I don't care. You name it. He challenges anybody in it. And he knows there's going to be millions of views on whatever they're streaming. Like, Canty going on Get Up, for example, right? And it's like, you know, Canty's doing the show. It's him and Marcus Spears going back and forth. And all of a sudden, a challenge happens. And it's Canty versus Marcus Spears. And it's going to be on Get Up the following week. I can promise you, from the second Canty makes that challenge to Marcus Spears, that from that second that show's over to the time he's on again, he is preparing for that moment.
I don't doubt it, but you see what he's done, Chris? The master deflector has done it yet again. I'm coming after him for his bizarre eating habits. I mean, you should probably check into a facility. And now he turns the tables and reverses it on me.
I've done what I came to done.
I already said that I had a misstep and I made a mistake.
You tell me you go to a Ruby Tuesdays. You're not attacking that salad bar?
Not if I'm not feeling well.
I'm destroying that salad bar. I don't care what it takes.
If I don't feel well, no, I'm not attacking anything if I don't feel well.
Keeping your head above water.
Why did you even just play that?
That's all RJ was doing.
There's no point in playing that.
Well, how do you know you're not going to feel better, though?
You could have just played that little clip, RJ, to the waitress.
RJ, why not chase the dog a little bit? Why just go water? Why not try to chase it a minute?
Oh, no. I was pulling a Rothberg, though. I was letting the dogs out. They letting them run away. I was punting.
I have a phenomenal story, by the way.
By Sunday night, it was third and long. I was sending the punt unit out there. I said, day's over. I landed here in the afternoon, and that was the day.
So I got a call from our assistant program director, John Winthrop, and he said, are you furious with me? And I was like, what are you talking about? Apparently, I butt-dialed him as I was walking the dogs. And they were acting up, and I was screaming at them. And I guess I was screaming at them at the exact time that I butt-dialed him, and he answered the phone, and he thought I was screaming at him. So he thought there was a problem. So I guess he answers the phone, and I start screaming, what the hell is the matter with you? What is wrong with you, you moron? And it was the dogs. And John calls me. It says, I'm glad. I thought I really did something terrible and you were very upset with me. I said, no, it's just the dogs. So that was really bizarre.
Why do you speak to your dogs like that, though? You wonder why they don't listen to you. You can't talk down to them like that. They
what do you
don't
mean?
Respond
they're
to
animals.
That. They're smarter than that.
Well, I don't know about that. He ate a tree.
Well, maybe he's doing it on purpose now. Just to mess with you.
You know what they tried to eat yesterday? Styrofoam.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Where are they getting styrofoam? Why did you just
That's a great question.
Styrofoam
because,
laying
because,
around?
I'll tell you why. Because my wife, much like you, is putting together a desk. So I try not to get involved because it's out of my purview, as I would say. And she is putting together a desk, and there's a all sorts of electronics involved in this thing, and there's a saw involved in this thing.
What?
I don't know what's happening here, but I don't really get involved. I'm watching the Mets, okay? But this desk came unassembled in a huge box, a lot of styrofoam. So she didn't put it outside yet. She left it downstairs, and the dogs tried to eat it for breakfast this morning, before breakfast, much like you. We've come full circle. They wanted to eat it, get themselves sick. Oh, and then you'll feed us breakfast? That's great. I mean, you are like my dogs. I've actually seen the dogs eat a meal, throw it up, and re-eat the meal, and it reminds me exactly of something that you would do.
I never said I was going to throw the meal up and eat it. I said I get to the point where I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, but I actually believe you would throw it up and then be like, great, now I have so much more room.
He would rally. You're 100% right, Dave. He would rally. There's no way he stops right after he throws up. He's like, oh, I feel better now. Keep the party going.
That whole pocket
that
down there is
Rick
now,
DiPietro,
it's now empty.
No question.
It's because I got a mango in my mouth.
Look at that. All that area that was occupied by food is now empty. I can get involved there again.
Puke and rally.
Always puke and rally. You feel sick, just let it out. And then you get back to the party. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
You need to check into like some kind of an inpatient center, I think.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Chris, you're kind of the outsider looking in. Is it fair to say we should be in panic mode about Edwin Diaz right now?
I'm not going to say full-fledged panic mode day, but there should be some concern because things are not trending in the direction that they should be going into the second half. They're not. So you got to figure out a way to get this guy back on track. I mean, we kind of looked at him with a raised eyebrow coming into this year, and for the most part in the first half, he was good. But seeing how this second half is starting out, like that's not what you want for your highest leverage reliever. It's not what you're looking for.
What's amazing, too, about last night, he comes in, walks Farmer on four straight pitches.
Oh,
and then the stupidity.
Close.
Well, and then the stupidity of baseball is Barnhart comes up. He swings the first pitch.
In the dirt. Yep.
In the dirt. Slider in the dirt. Swings.
He struck out on three pitches, didn't he?
Yeah, three straight sliders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. And that was it.
And then they had the genius of pitching to Winker.
He actually had a chance, too. If he fields that India ground ball cleanly, he probably turns two, or at least has the potential to turn two, and didn't. But, I mean, this is three straight games. And he's been, I mean, we were talking about him potentially being an all-star, right?
Well, he looked terrific in the first half of the season.
But, again, I mean, apparently Lindor is his emotional support, and he's not on the field, which is crazy to believe at this level that you need that could possibly
That's
be true.
That's the tweet I read the other day that Rojas said in the post-game press conference that not having Lindor is a huge factor for him, not defensively, just emotionally supportive or lack thereof. Just incredible. I have a treat for you guys. Dave Joust, the Mets, I guess, you know, for a couple days because Rojas is suspended, interim manager addressed the media last night. I think you'll greatly appreciate this. Firstly, he's very unfamiliar with how Zoom press conferences work. Here he is.
I don't know anybody's name, by the way. That's okay, right?
Yep. We'll help you with that, Dave.
Oh, Harold!
Hi there. Congratulations.
It's the first time I've done one of these in like 5 months, and it was I had to get the translator for the 3 months in Dominican last year.
Well, welcome to the Zoom room, Dave.
And this is the guy making decisions for the Mets.
He's a big star right now. What are you talking about?
Oh,
he's
always been the home run derby.
Can't make it up, Dave.
He's a baseball guy. I love it.
He says he's a treat. He's always in a good mood, by the way.
Dave, how you doing? You look pretty happy.
I'm happy all the time. You see me before the game. You know that. I'm happy all the time.
Yeah, I know.
You know what's funny, though, Dave? In all honesty, how important that is with one of those coaches. Like, having an assistant coaches or whatever it is in your sport that come in and, like, smiles on their faces all the time, how important that is.
I understand that, and I don't take away from that. But he sounds like a bumbling fool in this, no?
No, guys love him.
I'm not saying they don't love him. To the media, you don't think that they're shaking their heads at what's going on with this guy?
What do you mean? I mean, he's 2-0.
Oh, Harold!
Look at how excited he is. Gets the Zoom meeting first time in 5 months.
Oh, Harold!
All right, you want another one? Here he is. Dave Joust, Mets interim manager, on the length of the game last night.
I thought it was like an hour and a half game. Was it that long?
Yeah, 4:45.
Concession stand must have made a whole lot of money tonight. Oh, my gosh.
He sounds like a crazy uncle.
I love it.
Love it, though. Love it, though.
Well, who doesn't love the crazy uncle? It's not the crazy uncle you have to worry about. It's the creepy uncle that you give. You stay away from.
Kind of family. And everybody has that uncle, Rico. Make sure the kids stay away from that person, right?
Yeah,
you don't
you don't let the kids by themselves with crazy with the creepy uncle.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
no, never. Where are the kids?
Exactly.
Where are the kids at?
I think I saw him leave with Creepy Dave.
No. Get the kids.
Get him. No, but Dave, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, give him credit, too. He did decide to pitch hit McCann there in that spot. And McCann hit the two-run home run.
That was a bomb, too,
by the way.
It was a bomb, which gave you the lead. McCann came in late, but he had a huge impact on that game, boy. Because then he had the go-ahead RBI single in the 10th, too.
Yeah, where I forget the pitcher's name, tried to throw his glove at the ball.
It was an interesting attempt.
That was an interesting way to go about things.
Bezenhout.
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, Harold.
That's great drop.
That is good, Dave. That is good.
What is that guy's name, by the way, Rick? How do you say that golfer's name?
I don't know which one you're referring to.
Bezenhout.
That guy. Yeah, like that.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. How do you say his name?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's the Bezenhout guy, that guy.
I don't even know. Why would you ask me now in that moment? I don't know. He's not on my
you're
fantasy
the golf guy?
Yeah, that doesn't mean I'm a golf guy. You know how many golfers there are?
You knew his name the other day.
Yeah, because I was looking at it. I'm not looking at it right now.
Bezenhout, I'm told. Bezenhout.
Yeah, I know who won. Our guy won.
Why when I ask you a question, do you go in a completely different direction?
Because why do you ask me a question like that in the moment? Like, I'm not even looking at it. Like, how do you pronounce this name? You can't even pronounce it. I'm going to pronounce it for you.
Well, I never heard of him. You know exactly who he is.
Game 5 is a great opportunity. Was a great job. A phenomenal job. That's the wrong day. So that's we're not going to play that.
Oh, my goodness.
You see what's going on with the Nets now? You see where they have a training camp this year now?
Did I see California?
Yeah, San Diego.
That's because the owner's from out there, right? He wants it to be close to home.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, his second straight year, too. They had it in, what was it, Maryland last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, I mean, have you been to La Jolla?
Yeah, I mean, you could go to a
gorgeous.
Lot worse places than La Jolla.
Did I ever tell you the story about what Cassie did?
Well, here we go.
So I had to get my knee surgery. When I got my serious knee surgery, we had to go out. So when I blew out the cartilage in my knee, I tried microfracture, all that stuff didn't work. So the only option I had was to go get a cartilage plug, where was they take, you know, cartilage from a cadaver and then they put it in. So you got to get, I mean, essentially they take your knee apart.
So you have a dead person in you.
A dead one, yeah. So the doctor is Dr. Bugby, and he's out in San Diego, in La Jolla. So, and right by Torrey Pines, the golf course. So Cassie's trying to set this thing up, and they tell her, okay, you know, you're going to want to make reservations in La Jolla. So she gets on the computer, and she's looking through the computer. I said, what's going on? What, you having troubles? She's like, yeah, I can't find La Jolla. I said, well, let me take a peek at that. She's like, all I see is La Jolla.
Wow.
There's really? No La Jolla on the wow. map.
I got to be honest. That's not a story you should have told about your wife.
Wow.
Why would you tell that?
I only see La Jolla. I don't see a La Jolla on the map.
Really?
Yeah. She must have thought
it
was...
I thought you were going to say she was looking it up like L.A. space H-O-Y-A and couldn't find it.
Well, no, that's what she was looking for. That's how she thought it was spelled. She thought it was... She thought...
Like Hoyas, like Georgetown
Hoyas. Yeah, like the Hoyas.
You would think that when she couldn't find H-O-Y-A, that all she found was J-O-L-L-A, that she would have realized, well, maybe it's a silent J. Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, but even if it was a silent J, would you get Hoya out of O-L-L-A?
Well, if that's all that came up, I think I would add two and two together and get to the four.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the same woman who at one point said that when we were going back and forth about her being street smart, she said, what are you kidding me? I'm street smart. I can get you anywhere you need to go in New York City. That's my wife.
Uh-huh.
Why
are you taking shots at your wife today, though?
I've told that story 1,000 times to people.
Not on the air.
I've told the street smart story at least twice.
I've heard on the air. La Jolla I never heard on the air.
Yeah, but it's a funny story. Why wouldn't I tell it?
Because it embarrasses her.
Well, you just try to embarrass me, trying to make because you made a mistake. Now, Rick, you pronounce it so you can make a mistake and sound stupid.
I wasn't trying to embarrass you.
Yes, you were.
No, I'll let you know when I'm trying to embarrass you.
No, we all know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top. What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
The conviction you have there is just phenomenal. What is, you know when you go, and the flat top, what is that called?
And I'm sitting here trying to recall like one of my favorite memories, and I didn't even know what the place is called, where you sit is called. It's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
That's all right. You guys helped me out.
By the way, I'm taking shots at me with the drops and you with the drops. I'm getting requests on Twitter. Can you please play the Buffalo Bills drop from yesterday from Canty?
I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
No. No. For the steal, Chris Canty.
If it's not the Buffalo Bills.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
But the part that's great, Dave, is that I use the complete sentence. If it's not the Buffalo Bills, then it has to be the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Oh, it's so good. That really is phenomenal. Because it's not like you didn't hear him and didn't comprehend what he said. You hear that you say, well, he says it's Buffalo Bills. It's clearly not Buffalo Bills. So
it has to be the Buffalo Bills.
With the Buffalo Bills. That's a special drop.
It has to be.
That's almost better than when you did your Joe Montana, which is one of my favorite drops of all time from you.
No.
That's close.
I mean, it's a good one. It's an embarrassing one. What I've given you lately, that's not up there.
No. But that one for me is one of my favorites, though. I'm just saying personally is one of my favorites. Keeping your head above water is number one.
Oh, that's number one.
That's number one.
Keeping your head above water.
There's no point in doing a drop madness bracket for us because keeping your head above water is going to win going away. Like, they're the number one seed.
It would be like UCLA in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yes.
Like, they'd be undefeated coming in, and they would go out undefeated, yes. All right, I'm not going to play this I'm looking for just the easy way. I'm going to try to get some of the obscure top 10 ones off the bat. I'm going to say Joe Montana.
That's right there. Stop yourself.
I don't agree. I'm happy to be made fun of. I do not think that that's at the level of keeping your head above water or getting the dogs a turtle. I don't think so.
No. I'm saying that's on the – can't he going and saying – he just said – I say Buffalo Bills. And he said, well, if it's not the Buffalo Bills, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's great.
Is essentially – it's better. His is better. But we're doing a GOAT quarterback list. And Tom Brady's the GOAT. And you go, let me knock off one of these obscure ones. Joe Montana.
So if I would have said like a Y.A. Tittle, you would have been like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sid Luckman. Like going greatest golfer. Let's do the GOAT golfers. Okay, we'll put Jack Nicklaus one, and you're like, let me get one of these obscure ones.
I'll go Tiger Woods. Fair point. That is a fair point.
That's a good drop. That's a sneaky
drop. I'm not saying it's not a good, solid drop. It's not a one-seeded drop.
No. The one seed, keeping your head above water,
keeping your head above water has got to be a one.
Keeping your head above water. Oh,
yeah. That's got a chance in the K bracket, in the K-show brackets, keeping your head above water. That could make a run.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal. Counter is way up there.
And the emotional support turtle is definitely up. That's a high seed.
Very high seed.
Definitely a high seed.
And I think Buffalo Bills would enter the
Buffalo right Bills now. Is the number one seed, no question.
I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
No. For the steal, Chris Canty.
If it's not the Buffalo Bills. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's what it was.
That was a Purple Bird
that's
moment.
That's what it was. So you said it's Derrick not the
Henry
Buffalo Bills.
And the Purple Birds. The Ravens against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
But here's the difference. Yours on the same footing, but it's almost as if you called them like the blue animal. Like he called the Baltimore Ravens the Purple Birds.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. The Ravens.
See, that's when you know you're in one.
Against Derrick Henry.
No, but that's when you know you're in one. Is when you say the nickname and you still have to say the team. Because in the moment you're like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say the Purple Birds.
Never heard it before. Played for the team for 3 years. Never heard Purple Birds.
Purple Bird. Well, because you know why? Because the Raven is not a purple bird.
It's black.
Yes. That's why you never heard anybody call it the Purple Bird, because it's not a purple bird. It's a black bird. The Purple Birds.
Oh,
that's
man.
Good. That is good.
Very good. Very well done. So let's get back to the Mets, and I want to get into the Saquon Barkley stuff in the 6 o'clock hour, and then Mr. Lazy is going to produce an
Mr.
exceptional
Lazy.
CMT.
I just tell you how I defeat buffets on a regular, and I'm lazy.
Listen,
now.
I think your eating habits are not lazy. I think your show attributes might be a tad bit lazy.
My show attributes a tad bit lazy. Your segment on the week, which we'll do tomorrow with Stump Rothenberg, is you sit around and people ask you questions.
People love it.
Well, how could that be any easier?
Well,
first there's of no
all,
work. Everything, you, all the work has already been
do
done for you.
Why don't we do Stump DePietro?
Well, because that's not my specialty. It's Damer and DePietro and...
Tell us how great the end was.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Wedding video, announced the couple. as Mr. and Mrs. Rick DiPietro.
No, they did not.
Swear to God. No lie. I promise you.
So this is like your official alias then, DiPietro.
Yes, they'd never figure out
no,
who
it's like, I mean, it's like DiPietro. It's like the Kelseys. Like, you know that Travis Kelce's name is not Kelce.
Yeah, I saw he's had a video of that the other day.
Yeah, it's Kels. But his dad just got beat up. He's like, no, fine. Just call me whatever you want. It's Kelce then.
He just gave up?
He just gave up.
Do you see yourself giving up for DiPietro?
I think I already have given up. And then I fought back. And now I think I'm reverting back to old habits.
What do you
habits.
Want us to call you? Do you want to be DiPietro or do you want to be DiPietro?
DiPietro is good. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So then can you, moving forward, call yourself DiPietro?
I'm going to try, yeah. I mean, I can't.
Okay.
I can't promise you anything.
Rick DiPietro versus Rico DiPietro.
Rico DiPietro. Now, which one gets into the Italian Hall of Fame? Maybe DiPietro has a better chance of getting into the Italian Hall of Fame.
No.
No?
I don't think DiPietro does. I think DiPietro probably has the most. Really, if I change it to Rico DiPietro, that could make a push.
Yeah.
Rico DiPietro.
Rico DiPietro, yeah.
That could make a push.
Sounds like a really intriguing guy. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't got that call. I mean, I don't.
He's got many stories. Many stories, Rico DiPietro.
Yeah, he lived an interesting life.
Yes.
Interesting life.
Like
from a small town right outside of Sicily. Yeah.
I tried speaking Italian when I was in Italy, and we had like this tiny little elevator. Can't get the hotel you stayed at in Italy that I sent you to. You know how tiny those elevators are?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like very, this tiny little elevator. And I had practiced the whole months leading into the trip speaking Italian because I wanted to at least be able to ask for things and everything else. So the guy at the pool was teaching me Italian the whole time. Like, I got to try some of this out. So I'm in the elevator. It's a tiny little elevator. And some woman that worked at the hotel walked in. And I figured I'm going to be nice, ask her how she's doing. And
oh,
I asked her.
What did you ask her?
No, I asked her. And I'm like, and she nothing, no response. And I was like, maybe she's shy. So I asked her again. No response. I'm like, what? Am I saying this wrong?
Can you please bring me marbles?
And then as she walked out of the elevator, she goes, I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And this is like after taking courses, right?
Yes.
And this is the man that's going to marry you, RJ. This is the man.
He's got a lot of experience. I have faith that he's learned from all this.
Oh, my God. What a treat. Scott in the Bronx. Good morning, Scotty. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, so morning, everybody. And I was thinking about the Chris Canty Buffalo Bill drop, and it reminded me of this movie from 2001 named Memento, where the guy lost his short-term.
That's a great movie, by the way. Great movie.
And he to really remember things, he'd have to tattoo himself the thing he wanted to remember. But he would meet somebody, and then like a minute later, it would be like he never met them, never saw them again. And I feel like Chris was in that zone of Memento where he heard Buffalo Bills and then immediately forgot it and said Buffalo Bills.
Scotty, I never seen the movie, but you might be on to something. Too many hits to the head. I'm just saying I might be headed down that road. Just might be.
The director Memento went on to direct The Dark Knight, Inception. That's Chris Nolan. That's one of his first movies.
Gotcha.
And it's fantastic.
Okay.
Really is. Very well done.
I like the Mementos,
movie, Dave?
Too.
It's great. It's a really well done movie. But I have that. Do you guys ever get that one? We know Chris does. But like you're in the middle of speaking and you don't know what you're saying. And then you don't know how to get out of it. I had that happen every once in a while.
Yeah, like when you killed Magic Johnson.
Right. Yes, that exactly. happened.
Well, nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Such a nice guy. Don't know why Dave would want to kill him off.
Imagine Magic was listening to that.
Magic has defeated AIDS, has not been able to defeat Dave Rothenberg.
No. Right?
I'm doing national radio. But in fairness to me, my producer, who I asked to not speak to me when I'm talking, was talking in my ear, and I lost my train of thought. I killed Magic.
You're supposed to be professional, though, Dave.
Like a sniper with words. just took him down from like the...
Right out. In 10 seconds, gone.
That's right. From the rooftops. I'll kill you with my words.
It's amazing. I was in the car listening to you do that, too.
Were you?
Yes.
Yes, I was in the car, too.
So did you think Magic died?
Yes. I had to Google it.
I didn't think Magic died. I just thought you screwed up.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I said. I'm sorry. So don't stop.
I went right to the phone. I was like, did Magic die? Did I miss something? That's how much faith I have in you.
It wouldn't have been well, don't have any faith in me. Obviously, I'm not capable. But I wouldn't have mentioned it in passing that Magic Johnson had died.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You wouldn't feel
like I would have been like breaking down the Lakers and be like, oh, by the way, Magic Johnson died? No. It would have consumed the show.
Well, listen, you and feelings, I have a hard time putting my finger on you and feelings.
I do well when people die, though. I feel pain when people pass.
You don't cry. When was the last time you cried? Good cry.
Good.
Like ugly cry, Dave. Yeah, like a good, face balled like up kind of cry.
Weeping?
Yeah, like a nice Kelly Clarkson kind of cry.
No, in the middle of the Cross Bronx.
I'm not
the only person that's ever cried at the Cross Bronx, let's be honest.
Yeah, but from listening.
Yeah, but
to
not
Kelly
because
Clarkson
of Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
maybe because of traffic.
Most listen, when you sit in traffic, you're trying to explode.
You're trying to pee in a bottle, and you're listening to Kelly Clarkson. Things get weird. All right,
you're not going to explain a way out of that. The fact that
there's no explaining out of it. I don't think I could explain out of it to a therapist. Yeah, listen. I know in that moment something happened. I don't know what it is.
I thought you're going to get your sister-in-law to therapy me.
She will. I don't think
I
it's
do I it on the show.
No, I don't know because it could. She's going to open a door that's not the right kind of door.
Then you'll get me to cry live on the air.
Yeah, just you crying would be fine. I don't know if it stops at just crying. Because then we lose you. Like, you're going to have to re-examine your life. Then we're going to lose you for a couple weeks. You'll have to go to some kind of more intensive therapy. It's not good.
Yeah, doesn't sound great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.